we hope that there will be a time that the birth of a child with albinism will not be met with scorn, scandal, and spectacle. Yeah, we look forward to that. We are so optimistic.
That will no longer be margins of the society.
Yes.
Mawunyo Yako Dagba and her identical twin sister Mawusi Yako Hamidu, hoping that children born like them in the future will not suffer the same stigma that they've had to live with. Both born with albinism, which is characterised by lighter than usual skin, eye and hair pigmentation, they're now proud mothers themselves who work as professional auditors in their native Ghana, with a passion also for standing up for the rights of disabled people. Mawunyo is the Vice President of the Ghana Federation of Disability Organisations and has also served as head of the Ghana Association of Persons with Albinism, or GAPA. Mawusi is the Finance and Administration Officer for GAPA. I'm Matt Wells, and for this edition of our UN and Africa podcast from UN News, my colleague Deanne Penn sat down with them to talk about the difficult road they've had to travel. From being more susceptible to sunburn and cancer, dealing with severe short-sightedness and living through years at school suffering discrimination, being shunned in class and gross stereotyping, they've overcome adversities that very few have had to endure. They were at UN headquarters to take part in a major conference on the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and sat down with Deanne here in our podcast studio.
This is Mawunyo. I'm the Vice President of the Ghana Federation of Disability Organizations. I'm also on the National Council on Persons with Disability in Ghana.
And then I'm Mawusi. I'm actually the Finance and Administration Manager for Ghana Association of Persons with Albinism because I work with audit service full-time. So I work part-time with Ghana Association of Persons with Albinism.
And where in Ghana are you from, ladies?
We are from the Volta region,
Taviefe, to be precise.
Yeah, because when I went to Ghana, people said, oh, you look like you're from the Volta region.
That's true. Yeah. In Ghana, we'll say Nyesi. You actually look like Nyesi, like my sister. So they are right.
You are like, in you your look, complexion same, and all that. Yeah.
You look like Nyesi.
That's what they told me. Well, and just to begin, what do your names mean? Mawunyo, let's start with you.
Yeah, Mawunyo means God is good.
And Mawusi, God has heard. Actually, it was our daddy's dream to have twin girls. So when they had us, they were so glad and they gave us Mawunyo, God is good, and Mawusi, God has heard. Well, I mean, his prayers.
Prophecy, right?
Yes.
And we're here talking to you because you're here for this conference and you as women living with albinism are taking part.
Yes.
Tell me, growing up in your family, are you the only ones with albinism or?
Well, with our immediate family, we are twins, and then the one who directly follows is also a person with albinism. We only had an auntie who is a nurse who had a condition. Yes.
So you have
and
a brother?
We have a brother directly following us who also has albinism. And the auntie that my sister talked about is actually coming from my mother's side, our maternal auntie. Actually, her cousin, our mom's cousin. But recently, I traveled to the roots of where my dad comes from,
yes.
Aglefe in the Volta region, and I met people with albinism. So it confirms research that albinism must be inherited from both parents. I want to really state that because many people feel it's the woman's fault. Uh-huh. But before anybody be born with albinism, the gene should be both parents.
Thank you for bringing that up, because later we'll talk about some of the misconceptions about albinism, and one of them, like you mentioned, being that it's somehow the woman's fault. But I want to talk about your family life growing up and going to school. I mean, because with albinism, I take it you look different from most people in Ghana, right? What was that like? Mawunyo?
Yeah.
Mawusi.
Mawusi, yes. Going to school was a real struggle, because as you rightly said, you are different. So somehow you are already battling with that, you know, why am I different from everyone else? And then you go out there and then people don't want you to feel belong. because then they'll be chanting a whole lot of songs. And when you get to school, the condition comes with a visual impairment. So we are not able to read from the board. And, you know, students, so they don't understand. I mean, there's a lot of ignorance about the condition. So they don't understand why you have to get up and go to the board to read. They're kind of distracting them. So it was really a struggle for us.
Yeah, I think our parents give us confidence because society will always make you feel that you don't belong. I mean, I remember my dad, for instance, said when he had our brother, they said, oh, could you just put these three in an orphanage? But he said no. And our mom, I mean, would take us everywhere. That meant so much to us. And in school, it was difficult. There were unique struggles that every person with albinism faces, and we went through the same. But we were glad that at least we were three in our family. So you could see your brother or sister. But in other homes, maybe there's just one of you who have albinism. So for a long time, you might not even see anybody. So you might feel isolated. And that's why I think the association is a support and advocacy group that ensures that we lessen the struggles of our community.
But when you mentioned about your mother taking you guys, you know, everywhere and being, you know, such an advocate for you, and I understand that you guys refer to her as like Minister of Education or the Minister of Health.
Oh, yes, you heard that. Yes, I mean, she'll take us to school and ensure that she talked to the teachers to write boldly, because the reports kept coming that we were copying wrong things from the board. Imagine you write an exam and you had something wrong, not because you didn't know, but because you just saw it differently, and that's what you took as a note. So they kept saying they should take us to hospital for lens. But the fact is that albinism, the low vision cannot be corrected by, surgery or lens. You just have to manage with the limited vision that you have. So, in fact, she was so concerned about, taking her to the hospital. In fact, and taking care of our skin. The devastating effect of the sun in where we come from. It makes many of our brothers and sisters with albinism, have all these dark spots all over them. And that even affects your confidence because you don't feel good about yourself. But for her, those days, we didn't even have access to sun lotions. But she went short. We wore high-neck clothes, long sleeves, and you are always in the hat. And then the ones that you were in Ghana, the ones that the market women used to sell. She would buy it, and you have to take it along to school. And so we called her the Minister of Health. And for Minister of Education, when we are going through her exams, for instance, she'll give us additional rules.
Really?
Yes. You don't talk to your sister in the examination hall. Make sure you read your questions
and
read over again. So it got to a
point. When you're done, make sure you go over and dot your eyes and cross your teeth.
And when you came back home and you are not first in class, you ask you, okay, so the one that was first in class, does he have a bigger head than you? So all of those things, made us to call her Minister of Education and Minister of Health in our home.
Despite all the challenges you face, you mentioned, discrimination, children being not very nice, the problems with the vision, that affecting your education. But you girls, I shouldn't call you girls, you women.
Yes, you women. Girls.
You're still girls.
We love it.
Okay. Yes. You girls, you're doing your master's degrees now, right? Is that correct?
Yes. In accounting.
In accounting of all subjects, where you really need to cross your I's and dot your T's.
Right. That's paying attention to details. In fact, you have to double up. In class, sometimes you can't see anything from the board. All you do is listening. So when you go back, you have to actually go over what has been taught. And if possible, get assistance from someone else to help you understand the concepts and all that. But, there are challenges. But with determination, little by little, you overcome and you achieve one thing or the other. And here we are.
And Mawusi, has that, attention to detail and having to be so, specific as opposed to other kids who could just wing it, I guess, sometimes, has that played out in any other areas in your life that you've been, been very focused or very persistent.
Yes, I can say that because we are auditors. And if you're an auditor, you need to really pay attention to details. So that has really helped us. Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And now, tell me now that you mentioned you're working for the National Audit Office in Ghana. What exactly do you, your auditors, you said?
Yes, please.
Tell me about that job.
Actually, we are with Ghana Audit Service, but I'm with the Educational Institutions and District Assemblies, and she is with the Health Branch. So we go out to clients' office, I mean the senior high schools and district assemblies. So I'm always part of a team. We work together. You know, we audit their accounts. Yes.
When you go out with your team, I mean, you mentioned, you know, in the past that people were not very nice, or, you know, they were curious, or they were sometimes mean. Mm-hmm. Do you still experience that now as adults?
Sometimes. But, yeah. I know, as we are growing up, our mommy told us that, you know, it's not everyone who will like you. So that has been with us all these years. So when I go out and then somebody is kind of mean, or, you know, some people, they just think that with your condition, you are unable to learn or work or do anything, you know. It's just because of the ignorance and lack of understanding. But I try every time to do what I'm supposed to do. I carry out my assignments, and my boss is always happy with my work.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you always have to prove yourself because there's always this questioning stares. It feels uncomfortable, but I think we have overcome. Many of our team members that we work closely, it takes some time to be able for them to realize what you can be able to do. But that's okay. Now they become your advocates. When somebody does something else, they rather be talking on your behalf. Hey, do you know what Maunyo can do? And besides, the work challenges, reading small prints. You know, we are low-vision people, so we have to read large print. And sometimes maybe a client doesn't know that somebody is coming to audit his booster. But at least with computers, you could take soft copies of the documents and then adjust them, like with the resolutions on your computer. It slows your work a bit. So sometimes you might end up taking more hours to do the work, but it's okay. At the end of the day, the work is done.
You spoke also about, you know, the advocacy that you do. Tell me, how did that come about?
Yeah, having had all these struggles and having overcome, we feel that the stories of many who could not get the kind of support we had from our parents must change. And that was why we joined the Ghana Association of Persons with Albinism. And gradually, I became an advocacy officer, eventually became the national president. And so we've ensured that, we go to schools. If we identify any child with albinism, we encourage the parents to send them to school, because sometimes other people might just discourage them. Oh, your child will not live long, will die. And besides, so don't even make the effort. But we say no to that. It is the right of every human being to go to school and live as normal as anybody else. We are excited always to be called by parents.
Yes.
How did you do it? I want my daughter, my son, and we will just be sharing all the stories, and we'll follow up on you. Don't stay out in the sun. Use the sun lotion. It's quite expensive, but try and buy them, because, I mean, I don't know, did we get skin cancer? I mean, yeah. Early this year, for instance, my sister had to do a surgery because, even those of us who protect ourselves, we had. So imagine that.
And it was quite expensive. Yeah. And the National Health Insurance didn't cover, the cost, nothing. Yeah. You had to pay everything. And mine was at an initial stages, so...
Because of education, and I said, because our mom has always been on us to go to hospital. Mm-hmm. So when it started, she just went in to check. Oh, there was a sore on my forehead, it's not healing. And when it was detected that she had skin cancer, and quickly we had to do the surgery. But many people, you're not aware of your situation, your peculiarities. So you just allow it to be there before you realize you are at the stage of the cancer that medicine cannot help you. Uh-huh. So we've embarked on care for the skin as a way of prevention and care to ensure that I mean, because seriously, the statistics show that persons with albinism, they die through cancer, even more than the mutilations and, you know, that happens, especially in the Eastern Africa and all that. So when someone says persons with albinism, they die too early, so parents shouldn't support them in school.
People actually say that, Mawusi? People actually say not to support kids with albinism?
Yes. They practically say, like, you shouldn't even, live normal lives. Just put them in the room, don't let them come out. You have a right to live.
Our independent expert says the battle is on. We are gaining grounds.
Thank you so much for mentioning the independent expert, because that's the UN's independent expert.
Exactly.
Tell us about her. You've met her, I assume, right?
Yes, I've met her.
I always get her name wrong. Well, I know the last name is...
Ipo Wonsa. I think that also means God is good. Yes. So when we met, we just connected. Your name means God is good. My name is God is good. Yeah, she's doing so much work. Currently, we have a regional action plan that, for instance, Ghana had also has a plan in line with the regional action plan to ensure that in all our countries, in all of our African countries, we are ensuring that we are pursuing similar agenda that we can report as great success for the whole movement.
Mawusi, I want to ask you about this work for people with albinism in Africa, because as Mawunyo had indicated, there are some serious challenges there. People have been hurt, right?
Yes, they have. And sometimes they don't feel safe. You know, we had a case of a boy who was in school and, you know, in senior high school, and he was shuttling home and school. And then when they see him, it's like, you know, it has been in the past, you know, they have been used for a ritual, for a bumper harvest and all that. So when you hear these things, so the boy doesn't feel he's safe in the community. So he had to drop out of school, you know. But we had to follow up, and then we spoke with the headmistress at the time, and then he was willing to now take him as a boarder, so he'll be on the compound, so he doesn't have to go and come like that. Yeah. Yes.
And in some communities in Ghana, for instance, they don't allow a person with albinism to reside. Even the chief palace, you know, the traditional authorities. In our part of the world, Africa, Ghana, for instance, we have our chieftaincy system, and they're like, you are seen as a curse. So in some places, you can be in the community, but you cannot, visit your chief in the palace. So I'm like, so what if the sub-chief or the chief himself also has? Because you can't tell if a person has the genetic, has the albinism. You can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
So our parents like this, they are
so dark. So what if
you can't even see any traits? You know, some of the albinism, you can see a trait, like maybe the hair. But in their case, you will not even see any trait.
Somebody said,
and yet they had three of us.
And only one child that was dark. People have been hurt. And that saps confidence.
Yeah, you are not able to utilize your talents. And then you fulfill your dreams and all that. Mm.
And these misconceptions, like you say, can be deadly too, right? Because in some parts of Africa, people with albinism have been killed.
Yeah. It's sad and unfortunate. But we hope that there will be a time that the birth of a child with albinism will not be met with scorn, scandal, and spectacle. Yeah, we look forward to that. We are so optimistic.
That will no longer be margins of the society.
Yeah. Yes. And speaking about that, you're here at the United Nations, where, you know, there's this Convention on Rights of People with Disabilities to advance the rights of people with disabilities. Yes. Tell us about the importance of, you know, the United Nations and the global community addressing these issues.
Well, it's very important because the member states of the United Nations have a fundamental agreement to leave no one behind, you understand? So it gives us the confidence that, yes, we are going to be included. There's going to be nothing without us in all spheres of life. We must be included so we can meaningfully contribute to society.
Yes. Mawunyo?
Yeah, I am so far from the civil society forum that we had yesterday and today the opening session of the Conference of State Parties, I realized that there have been a focus on, the less included disabilities, like the intellectual, those with intellectual disabilities, mental disability, autism, cerebral palsy, but albinism haven't been mentioned. So I'm looking forward to, ensuring that there will be subsequent sessions, there is a spotlight on albinism, because when you talk generally about the disabilities, sometimes you get to leave some people behind. And once you are trying to bring the fathers behind first, at least persons with albinism, we also have the struggles. And many, many more countries need to focus on persons with albinism.
And just to add this, the UN had designated the 13th of June as International Albinism Awareness Day, which is falling, within this conference period. Yes.
We are hoping that, the conference will be able to bring on board issues of albinism.
Thank you. And now, before we came into the studio, I was so worried because I was like, how am I going to tell them apart? Because they're identical twins. Whoa. Do you get that a lot? But now that I'm with you,
yes,
you're so different.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are.
Which is a prejudice of mine because people tend to think identical twins are
the same.
Yeah.
No, we are not. As you can see, she enjoys talking a lot.
Look at you.
I'm always at the background, doing some cooking and all that. So we are different.
You're different, but you work together as a team.
Yes, we do. We coordinate our efforts.
People will be wondering if our husbands can tell us apart. I'm like, they can. There are differences. Even our children,
yes,
they know who is their mommy. it's just a little. If you pay attention, a little time, you can tell this is Maonyo.
Yes. I'm glad you guys can laugh at this because some sisters might be like,
oh. and I think we have actually progressed together. That has helped many twins. Yeah. It gets to some time in their lives that they separate. But I think, especially for our condition, when we're about to do the MBA, for instance, she was like, no, I just had my test out. No, I'm not ready for this. Yeah. I went to buy two forms. I said, I'm not going to do this without you. And so through school, it helped with our learning. Mm. That has been one of the benefits of being two. It helped with our learning. And once we all decided we're going to go the same professional line, it has actually really, really helped us. Because if you picked one thing in class, she will pick another. And, did you understand that? So we don't have to be bothering other people all the time, unless it's beyond the two of us. But generally, it has helped us to progress. And I think we are happy that there's a double of me.
Yes, because it feels great.
And we still do same clothes.
Yeah, you dress alike.
We still do. When I'm buying something and there are not two of them, forget it. I'm not going to buy it.
Ladies, thank you so much for speaking to us today. I want to ask you something. Do you consider yourselves role models?
Yes.
Mawusi?
Yes, for the younger generation. So we pray that, the narratives will change. Yes.
What does that mean for you, that the narratives will change?
We don't want to hear the negativity, as you know. So we know that we are going to highlight more of the positives of albinism. And so this year's theme, Shining Our Light to the World, yes, it gives us, that we can showcase our achievements and we are capable people, So,
Mawunya.
Yes, we believe that we are mentoring people. People take inspirations from us, and sometimes it's not only people with albinism alone.
Yes.
People feel, you had these struggles and you overcame all that. That gives them hope that they can also go through one challenge or the other and become whatever they want to be. So we continue and as she spoke about shining our light to the world, this we feel re-energized and empowered for the work ahead.
That was Mawunyo Yako Dagba and her identical twin sister, Mawusi Yako Hemidu, talking to Deanne Penn, two mothers who've lived with albinism throughout their lives and are now fighting for the rights of people with disabilities in their home country of Ghana and by being here at the UN throughout the world. I'm Matt Wells. Thanks for listening to this latest edition of UN and Africa. Wake up in the morning.